Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy now calls Pelosi's partisan January 6th panel a sham. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi canceled two of the five Republican lawmakers from investigating.
Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all five Republicans, we will not participate. We will run our own investigation.
Pelosi in a statement said, I must reject the recommendations of Representative Banks and Jordan to the Select Committee. The unprecedented nature of January 6 demands this unprecedented decision. End quote. The Chinese government rejected a second phase of the World Health Organization's investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Calls into the possibility of the virus leaking from a Wuhan lab continue to grow. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman said the government had cooperated fully with the initial investigation and refuted allegations that researchers had been denied access to any locations or data. The lab continues to do business in Wuhan, China. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Texas is taking bids to complete the border wall, Dan Naraki explains.
Last month, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced that his state would build a wall on the border with Mexico. The Texas Facilities Commission is reportedly preparing to begin to take bids for the project. Governor Abbott tells Newsmax TV that the project is advancing quickly, and it appears they'll be able to get the building done at a smaller price tag than first thought.
I gotta tell you, it's advancing faster than I thought it would, and there's an easy explanation for it. The first thing we do is we hire a program manager who oversees the entire project, and we have to send that out for bids and things like that. But the reason why it's happening faster is because we have already received a lot of information from companies and businesses that built the wall under the Trump administration or offered bids to do so. And so we're not having to invent the wheel. We're just having to apply the wheel that's already been invented. And with the land that we already have available to us, it looks like it will be costing Texas a whole lot less than it did the Trump administration.
USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What's being described as a super spreader event, Texas House Democrats have left a trail of COVID-19 infections since leaving the state. Let's get an update with Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau.
At least six Texas Democratic lawmakers that have fled the state to block an election reform bill have tested positive for coronavirus. Texas Republican Congressman Ronnie Jackson calls for those lawmakers to return to Texas.
When their 10 days of quarantine are over and they get released from their hotel rooms in Washington, D.C., they need to go immediately back to the state of Texas, and they need to fulfill their duties to the constituents there. They were voted in and elected to represent the constituents of Texas, and they have completely gaffed off that duty, and it's time for them to do their jobs.
Those Texas Democratic lawmakers met with Senate Majority Leader and New York Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, and Vice President Kamala Harris. Spokespersons for each say they aren't quarantining.
Russia launched a long-delayed module for its segment of the International Space Station Wednesday. Reports are coming in it suffered technical problems after reaching orbit. Both Roscosmos and NASA said the module prematurely deployed its solar arrays and navigational antennas shortly after separating from the rocket. Neither agency has provided additional updates on the status. The module, 13 meters long and weighing more than 23,000 kilograms at launch, includes crew accommodations, attitude control systems for the station, research facilities, and cargo stowage. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. We've got the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. He is back with the one and only DeRoy Murdoch. DeRoy, how are we doing, buddy?
Bill, doing great. Good to talk to you.
Always good to have some time together. You know, there's other things to talk about, but I needed to get your read on this publicity stunt from the Texas Democrats. You know, the bottom line of all this, and of course why Nancy Pelosi and the vice president was welcoming in, because it brought some spotlight back to H.R. 1 and S.1, didn't it?
It sure did, and boy, these Texas Democrats just basically handed the GOP a beautiful, beautifully wrapped gift on a silver platter. I mean, not only did they, in the name of democracy, get up and leave Austin in the middle of a debate about election integrity and new election laws in Texas, and by them departing, they don't have a quorum, they can't move forward in Texas. Then they come to D.C., which makes the Texas story, which was a state story, now a national story because they're in D.C. And then it turns out to be a super spreader event, not just among the Texans, but I believe they infected a member of Nancy Pelosi's staff and a member of Joe Biden's staff in the White House. And what they've done also is essentially create a precedent so that if the H.R. 1 or Biden's so-called infrastructure package gets to push through, or there's an attempt to push it through by the Democrats, the entire GOP conference can get up, walk off the floor, and basically call for a, I think the term is detect the absence of a quorum. Mm-hmm. The clerk then says, the clerk will call the president of the Senate says, the clerk will call a roll. They start calling the names, and there are 50 Democrats. Kamala Harris cannot participate in that vote. So without a majority, that brings everything to a complete screeching halt. And if the GOP does this, of course, the left will scream and yell, say, oh, you're trying to destroy democracy, blah, blah, blah. And all they have to do is say, oh, we just learned this lesson from the Texas Democrats who were just here a couple weeks ago, and run that videotape, and that entire argument will collapse with a big, giant, crashing sound because the Democrats have done this from Texas and turned it into a much, much bigger story by turning it all, not just a political story, turning it into a COVID-19 story. So the GOP has every right and every precedent and every political incentive to walk off the Senate floor if it looks like the Democrats are trying to rush through or push through any of these bills through any crafty or specious means. And I hope they take advantage of that opportunity if it avails them.
Yeah, we'll see if they have the courage to do that. But you're exactly right. They definitely have set the precedent for it. And interestingly enough, on their way to D.C., they're on a private plane. not wearing masks. I mean, here it is. I mean, they're violating even TSA rules of wearing a mask. I mean, you and I talked about how you were harassed here several weeks back on a flight because you lowered your mask just to eat. And here it is. They're all happy campers, look like they're heading to spring break or something. And so the whole publicity stunt, you know, as the Hill put it, you know, Texas Democrats pull worst publicity stunt that would be ever.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, yeah, you mentioned a couple things. One is, you know, the party of the little guy, the party of the people, they could have flown commercial. Now they're flying private. You know, not every American can afford to be in a private jet. And here we have these, you know, so-called, working class, if you will, Texas Democrats on a private jet, number one. And number two, not wearing masks. I've flown across the country a number of times, and you always have to have your mask on. As you say, you've got to have it on between sips and bites as you're eating, which is ridiculous. You're trying to sleep, and you got your nose covered. I was, in fact, getting off a plane a few weeks ago, and I was juggling my carry-on, my roller bag, and my little bag with some pizza I'd not finished, and the stewardess is at the front of the plane holding my jacket, which I asked her to put away for me. I'm probably 10 feet away from the exit, and had my nose, the mask on, but not covering my nose, and the stewardess says, "Sir, you got to cover your nose." And, I mean, literally, it's 10 feet from getting off the plane. I said, "I will be out of your hair in about 10 seconds as soon as I get my jacket and I got off the plane." But, you know, that's how we passengers/cattle are treated. And here are the Texas Democrats flying around like masters of the universe. And then, of course, it backfires when you've got, at this stage, I think it's 6 or 7 different people with COVID-19 as a consequence. Unbelievable.
Well, and when you're on the plane, the repeated announcements about wearing your mask, I mean, it's almost like, you know, I thought, "Guy, am I in Germany here or something?"
Yeah.
I mean, you shall wear your mask, you know. It's like, you'll be kicked off the plane, or, you know, this could have an impact, an effect on future flight on this airline and the whole deal. I mean, what the government isn't willing to do, they're empowering, you know, local businesses and corporations to do on their behalf now. I mean, this is pretty scary stuff. I mean, the TSA and now these individual airlines, and now you got businesses that are rising up that are basically telling their employees, "Well, you better be vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated," I mean, they're taking the government narrative and forcing them to, to make their choice, not, the individual's choice.
"You will wear your mask and you will enjoy it." Yes, exactly correct. Yeah, I was. I flew to California and back last week, and as you mentioned, every half hour, you know, "Put your masks on, wear your masks." And as you say, what the government essentially has done is privatized the enforcement of federal law. I mean, you don't have U.S. Marshals enforcing this. You've got members of the private sector enforcing, and of course, they're doing it because they're forced to as well. So what they've done is sort of reverse engineered the deputization of flight crews into federal enforcement officers. It's so annoying. And again, I think these masks, especially people who already have been vaccinated, it's just theatrics. Oh, it's just purely a theatrical exercise. It accomplishes nothing. And frankly, we've heard that having the masks on increases the amount of CO2 in your bloodstream. That's not very healthy, and especially for little kids.
I think we learned that in third or fourth grade, didn't we, in some sort of science class or biology class or something like that?
Yeah. And, carbon dioxide in other contexts, according to the left, is, worse than cyanide. It's the poison that's killing the planet. And here they are forcing us to have more CO2 in our bloodstreams than we would otherwise. Very, very, very greedy. I mean, I think the way to get Delta variant under control and get this epidemic behind us is to encourage people to get vaccinated, unless you've got a reason that you can't, or it's not healthy for you, or if you already had COVID-19. There's no point getting the vaccine, you don't need it.
Right.
But this mask thing, I see the masks as essentially just instruments of control, and kind of like, putting leashes around dogs, essentially. And we, of course, are the dogs, and government's the master.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that it puts into question the veracity of the vaccine itself. I mean, if it's all that it's supposed to be, why are we having to mask up? Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Right. One of the advantages of getting vaccinated is the thought anyway was we'll be able to put the masks aside or, throw them away or burn them. But then we're told we'll get a vaccine, it'll protect you from the virus, but keep wearing a mask. So which is it? And I'm sure there are people who say, well, if you're still wearing a mask after you get the vaccine, then the vaccine is the theatrical element, not the mask. So what's the point of getting the masks or getting the vaccine? So I think that the mixed messages people are hearing probably is exactly the reason why people are staying away in larger numbers than they should, not getting vaccinated. So it'd be nice to get one clear, consistent message from the U.S. government rather than a variety of messages that slam into each other at high speed.
Well, this is a problem when you really evade science and you embrace politics. And this is their own doing, DeRoy. I mean, this is brought to you, orchestrated by the Biden administration, because we remember early on, they questioned the credibility of the vaccine, said they wouldn't take it. Now here they are telling people to take it because the only difference is Donald Trump is no longer in the White House. Going to a quick break. We've got more from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. The Tide Ministry's been broadcasting gospel programming in Albania for 5 years, and listeners are testifying that when God blesses them with new life in Christ, He also opens the door for them to pass that blessing on to others. Three listeners recently shared uplifting stories of their own salvation and its impact in the lives of those around them. These stories come from a man, a young woman, and a police officer, all who turned to Christ after hearing the gospel through the Tide programming in Albania. Ismira shared how he came to Christ a year ago and has since started a Bible study with seven others in his village. They have no church, but they come together and listen to the Tide program. To find out how you can use the Tide Ministry to share your faith with people around the globe, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
Thank you.
days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. DeRoy Murdoch, a Fox contributor, continues with this. DeRoy, just to put a wrap around this whole situation, I mean, Joe Biden, a week ago, said, knock, knock, the vaccinators are coming for you. Wow, I mean, we are just really unhinged here. I mean, what happened to our constitutional rights?
Yeah, the whole idea of door-to-door and vaccine inspectors, whatever, is pretty chilling and pretty ominous. I mean, you've got people knocking on your doors for the census. That's, I guess, serious enough. Mm-hmm. There's a constitutional mandate for that, of course. But knocking on people's doors to see if they've been vaccinated or not, that is quite eerie and kind of reminiscent of, I don't know, Cuba or East Germany or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's kind of American to me.
Well, DeRoy, recently you have been writing about Governor DeSantis, who is emerging, you say, as the great right hope.
He is. I've been very, very impressed with Ron DeSantis, Governor of Florida. He is unlike a number of Republican governors who go in and, you know, cut one or two taxes and kill one or two regulations and kind of put their feet on their desks. He is just a complete, as I described in this piece, which FoxNews.com ran, as a full-spectrum conservative. He's done great things on taxes, very good things on deregulation. He's been terrific on school choice. That's been expanded quite dramatically in Florida, among other things, signed a law that if you are engaged in, not in peaceful protests, but in violent, in riots and other violent political violence, mm-hmm. you can expect to go to jail. He's been terrific on the idea of protecting girls' sports so that female competitors are not allowed to have penises, you know.
Yes.
What a radical concept, right?
Well, I know exactly. Who would have thought that we'd be talking like this, but this is what it's come down to, right? Yeah.
And the basic approach towards COVID-19 was to keep the state open, keep kids in school, not follow the lockdown kind of approach of the left. And the consequence has been quite decent COVID numbers, and at the same time having an economy that's growing and schools that are open and people moving into state rather than moving out of state. He also has cracked down or ended critical race theory in government schools, and conversely, encourage the instruction of the dangers of communism and why communism remains a risk to people around the world. All these things are just fantastic and should appeal to economic, cultural, and law enforcement type conservatives. And I guess the question is, he faces re-election, I believe, in 2022. At this point, I got to think he's looking, it's his race to lose. And if he's re-elected, I think he's the front runner for the GOP nomination in 2024, unless Donald J. Trump decides to run for it.
Yes. The straw poll at CPAC had Trump with, what, 50? 50% and DeSantis at 20. They were the only two of note. And I think that, the governor had said earlier that if Donald Trump would decide to run in 2024, then he would not get in that lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the thought. I mean, I think, look, back in 2016, Donald J. Trump knocked out, I guess it was 15 or 16 rivals, yeah, including sitting senators and sitting governors. So I would not want to get in the way of that locomotive. I mean, he is clearly the leader of the Republican Party, and if he wants that nomination, it's his. But if he doesn't run, I think DeSantis is an extremely appealing candidate. He's from probably the biggest swing state. If he can walk into the fall election with Florida pretty much in his pocket, that's I think literally 10 or 11% of the electoral votes needed to get into the White House right there. That's a big step. My dream scenario actually is President in 2024, President Ron DeSantis, Vice President Tim Scott, Secretary of the Treasury Pat Toomey, Secretary of State Robert C. O'Brien, who was NSC chief under Trump, Secretary of Defense Kevin McCarthy, and Speaker of the House Donald J. Trump.
Wow.
He can run for a House seat and become House Speaker, or he can become – there's no requirement that you be a sitting House member. He could be elected as a private citizen to become House Speaker by the GOP conference, if they're by the whole House, the Republicans majority, and he can be the man to get the DeSantis agenda through the House. Of course, he can get up and say what he wants, stay on the air, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yes.
and people who are not terribly thrilled with Trump's personality won't have him as president. And I think we'll have the advantage of DeSantis' leadership and Trump's leadership. Mm-hmm. And of course, the left will completely pass out and maybe never recover.
Could you imagine?
Speaker Trump. Can you imagine that?
That's
my sort of dream scenario for 2024.
Well, your dream and their nightmare, if that could happen.
Exactly.
But wow, that's...
Make them cry again.
Exactly. Why not? And, of course, DeSantis comes in with a solid record, as you say, including... I mean, a lot of the policies that he's enacted were the same thing that Trump was doing on a federal level, you know, cutting taxes and getting regulations out of the way. And this has all served the state, very, very well. So, we'll have to see how this plays out. But before then, we've got a midterm election that many Americans can't wait for. But, if it's anything, if the voting process is anything like what happened in 2020, then, I think we're going to have some serious issues to deal with.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, the Democrats are looking like they're in trouble. I will say that if the economy, if I were Joe Biden, I would leave the economic fundamentals alone. We still have low taxes. The Trump taxes, mm-hmm. tax cuts have not been repealed. We've not had that much in terms of regulation because the Green New Deal and these other things have not been enacted yet. If I were Joe Biden, I'd leave that alone. Every 2 weeks, I'd go give some left-wing speech to rile up the base and just let the economy keep growing. And if that's the case and the Democrats face the voters in November of next year with a growing economy, that will be good for them, frankly. If the economy sputters and crashes, then they're obviously in huge trouble. But independent of that, you've got the crime problem, which is rampant. The border has completely melted down. And then you've got the whole critical race theory and parents being enraged about all of that. And the Democrats, all those policies were brought to you by the Democrats. They're not Republican policies, and they'll have explained for that, explain mm-hmm. themselves for those things. And those issues alone could knock them out of power. Remember, the GOP only needs to pick up five seats to win a majority. Mm-hmm. So if I were Nancy Pelosi, I'd be very, very, very nervous. But I think, like you said, a lot of people can't wait for the midterm elections. I wish they were this November rather than November of 2022. I think the Democrat Party can't be retired to the American Museum, the Museum of American History, quickly enough for my time.
I'm right with you on that, because this has been way too painful. And with the way, in a short period of time, that this administration and the Democrats and again, the big question has been, is that big elephant in the room with the 2020 election? So, we'll see. We've got some interesting times coming up and, some revelation going on. You wrote another column here I wanted to address here in the last 2 minutes that we're together regarding the Dems' electric car dreams running low on battery, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I had a funny experience at a college a few years back where some student came up to me and said, we need plug-in hybrids. He was just so thrilled about this idea. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting. Tell me, when you plug the car into the socket in your garage, where does that electricity come from? And I looked at him, and he slowly put his head down, looked like he was about to cry. This young man had not thought about how does the power get into the car, like they're gremlins or like leprechauns, and they're producing the power. And as I've said in this piece, it's if you're driving an electric car, only 13% of power comes from the kind of power sources that the left likes, solar and wind and so on. The other 87% come from coal, natural gas, oil, uranium, hydroelectric. They're not crazy about dams because dams are not nice to fish or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, if you're driving a Tesla, you're basically driving a coal-powered Tesla or a oil or natural gas powered Tesla, in essence. And it's going to be a long time before we have a high enough level of green power to make these cars actually green. Another huge problem is, where are you going to get the cobalt and the nickel and molybdenum and all these other rare earth metals that are required to put into the batteries? The electricity will pop up out of nowhere. The gremlins will do their work, and the dreams of Tesla and Volt and others will come to fruition. I wish them a lot of luck with that.
Yeah, because somehow that's happened before, right? Maybe not. DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan based Fox News contributor, has been with us. DeRoy, as always, appreciate the time. Take care. Godspeed, my friend. Take care.
You as well, Bill. Thank you very much.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy now calls Pelosi's partisan January 6th panel a sham. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi canceled two of the five Republican lawmakers from investigating.
Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all five Republicans, we will not participate. We will run our own investigation.
Pelosi in a statement said, "I must reject the recommendations of Representative Banks and Jordan to the Select Committee. The unprecedented nature of January 6 demands this unprecedented decision." End quote. The Chinese government rejected a second phase of the World Health Organization's investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Calls into the possibility of the virus leaking from a Wuhan lab continue to grow. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman said the government had cooperated fully with the initial investigation and refuted allegations that researchers had been denied access to any locations or data. The lab continues to do business in Wuhan, China. USA Radio News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Hanging in there, huh? Good for you. In the midst of all the insanity, right? But yes, you're okay. You're not losing it. I can appreciate that. Sometimes you wonder, you go, what? What am I not understanding here? I mean, this just seems to be a whole new world. And yeah, you're right. Look, there are things to do, and we got to continue on with a good fight. And don't let go of the truth. The truth is still attainable. And forget about this relative truth stuff. Okay, this is what. Was the start of all the unhingement that has happened across this country of ours. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, good to have you with us. Albert Norton joins us now. His latest book, Dangerous God, a Defense of Transcendental Truth, I should say. He's an attorney and award-winning author. Albert, I don't know why I messed up on it this time, because the last time we talked, I thought I got it right, the name of your book.
Well, how about this? Transcendent Truth.
Yes.
I'm trying to say that God is the author of truth and our ideas of how we would form truth. So not transcendental, transcendent.
Okay. And was there a typo on this thing? Is that what's driving me nuts? Is it
Probably so. And if I missed it, I'm sorry when I got the notice to be ready for your call. But it's transcendent truth. That's right.
It is transcendent truth. Okay, that makes a lot more sense, because I'm sitting there going, I'm tripping over this thing, and thank you for clarifying that, because I don't want to. I mean, after all, we're talking truth, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, this is what has happened. I mean, I just came, you know, from a weekend of there was a lot of combination of faith and government and issues of politics going on. And I got to tell you, Albert, I mean, I went through this transcendency experience last year because this radio show has been, you know, based on truth, on biblical worldview, and admittedly, we got caught up in some of the cultural fervor of the body politic. And after it was over, I'm going, what am I doing here? I had to recenter myself back on the key and core principles of what this radio show is all about, and that is in pursuit of the truth, which anchors you, of course. Truth comes from God only, all right? And this, you and I accept that, so and we hold to that vehemently. And we see the result of people that disengage from the truth. They're like that hot air balloon that's been punctured that is going pell-mell in all kinds of different directions. And that's where we see our society today, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And I applaud you for taking that move, making that move to look, let's not get so bogged down in the events of the day that we forget what it's really all about. I think it's valuable to sort of move up a level of abstraction in our thinking. You mentioned just a minute ago about we got to be careful about the relativism of truth and, mm-hmm. and the degree to which that drives our thinking about the issues which concern us day to day. And that's exactly right. That's postmodernism. That's a concern we should have, and we should be able to extrapolate from the issues of the day into the nature of truth, which is my chief concern, the thing I wrote about.
Right. Exactly. And Albert, the situation here is, people like us, we're counter the culture, and Jesus was counter the culture. So what do we expect? So we're going to get attacked, and of course the order of the day is it's very aggressive, the counterculture is, and if you don't go along to get along, well then you're out of the parade, and they're going to kick you out, they're going to debase you and everything else. But look, we've got to hold to our values, because there are more people like us than like them. I mean, like, and when I say like them, I'm talking about these radicals who've gone out there and decided they're going to define their own truth without God. Well, good luck. And, you know, that parade, though, right now there may be some energy with it. They may have some sort of a megaphone, which is backed up by the legacy media and big tech and all that. Just because that is the case does not mean it to be so.
Yeah, and maybe I can help a little with the concern that people have that, things that you always took as being objectively true and clear are now no longer are. Look at these strange issues from radicals. What's happening here? The thing that's happening here, and it's postmodernism. I've been just obsessed with postmodernism and what is it really? What's the through line on postmodernism? And the conclusion that I came to, I mean, there's lots of, to read individual philosophers, for example, and draw a lot of conclusions. But the through line to me is about truth and whether it's relative, whether or not it's objective. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think we can trace the history of thought to understand how we got to where we are today. And if we start looking at the issues of day through this paradigm of how truth is formed in the mm-hmm. minds of people, I think that would be very revealing to us. And we can start to understand, oh, okay, this is why it's true. It's mm-hmm. it's true.
Right.
That truth is being held as relative by people who advance certain kinds of ideologies that just seem twisted, and we have a hard time making sense of it as much as we'd like to listen and hear and understand.
Yeah, along that same line, Albert, my thinking was, which I had to come to, is that is truth most important or not? I mean, are the standards of life, is that the most important thing we can hold to? And and I determined in my experience that yes, that when I was making decisions and choices consistent with that truth, and then it went well for me. When I violated those principles, not too bueno. And so experience was a great teacher, and I listened, sometimes the hard way. Sometimes, like I tell our audience, you know, we get so knuckleheaded that we think the law of gravity doesn't exist and we got to challenge it. And so we get up on the roof and fall off and go, oh, ouch, that hurt. That, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a difficult way to learn about objective truth. That's right.
Yeah. But
yeah, so... So truth right. drives values, mm-hmm. and values are what we base all of our decision-making and our evaluation of the world and our place in it. So, of course, it's fundamental. We have to have some understanding about how truth is formed. For thousands of years, it's been, well, what's true? What, I know something is true because that is the way the world is, what most corresponds to the way the world is. That's what makes something true. And in the last 100-plus years, especially, but, I mean, it's a gradual thing, that basic idea is being overthrown in favor of the pragmatism that is built into the postmodernist ideas that we're exposed to. And it's a big shift.
It's kind of amazing that, really, we find ourselves back to square one. We're back in the garden where the question is, did God really say? Right?
Right. Yes.
I mean, it's amusing when you think about it. I mean, here's all these forward-thinking progressives that think all this. It's like, well, no, you know, you're not all that brilliant. I mean, that's the same question that was asked at the beginning of time. You know, did God really say? And so then you make up your own story and your own truth. It all becomes relative. And how's that working out for you and your family?
Right. And that's a great word, story, because story is a narrative. And if we want to take what's going on around us and start trying to pick it apart somehow based on how we understand postmodern philosophy that's ubiquitous now, you can start with that very thing. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. The idea of objectivity and truth. You start with that very thing. So narrative, story. Narratives are perfectly appropriate. I mean, it's how we take facts about the world. Mm-hmm. We add to it our reason to connect to those facts together, inferences we draw from those reasons. So we all do this all the time. So we walk around, for example, with a story, a narrative in our minds about, let's say, the history of the United States. Mm-hmm. And that's appropriate. There's nothing wrong with it per se. But when you start witnessing story being kind of twisted around where we can make up our own story, mm-hmm. and we can draw selectively from the facts around us in order to make up that story, that should cause us to say, wait a minute, this doesn't ring true. And then when you see that there's some dishonesty to it, but it's just the selective application of facts, mm-hmm. in order to create a narrative, and that becomes true. This is the key. That becomes the truth. And so if you doubt that narrative, you're the liar.
Yeah.
You're the guy that needs to be shouted down.
Exactly. Well, this is the danger of ideology, and this is why ideologues want us to cancel our First Amendment right, to where you cannot sit down and reason together. Well, you know, in doing that, as Jordan Peterson says, we render ourselves stupid. So here we are in this era of so-called intellectuality, and we're shooting ourselves in the head. We've got more from Albert Norton after
this. Are you worried about refinancing your mortgage only to find a better rate later? Introducing the No Regret Refinance from Network Capital Funding Corporation. Mortgage rates are near all-time lows, and Network Capital is now offering one of our lowest 30-year fixed rates ever, 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. With a rate this low, you'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Our unique process is fast, simple, and secure, and right now, the Network Capital 30-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. Now, today's low rates won't last, so talk to us about the No Regret Refinance today. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Finance Law Number 603D787, an equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer
offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com. When you
You know, God still speaks, you know. I guess the question is, are we listening, huh? Albert Norton continues with us. His latest book, Dangerous God, A Defense of Transcendent Truth. Thank God I've got that squared away once and for all. You have no idea. The attorney and award-winning author is with us. And, Albert, let's talk about critical race theory. A lot is out there, but sadly, people still are misunderstanding what's going on. And it's no wonder, because there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo coming out of the legacy media. We can say whatever we want. You know, you can say, well, it's fake news and whatever. But still, big numbers of citizens watch the evening news. They're, you know, in touch with legacy media. That's where they get their news. The big tech oligarchs are controlling the message out there. Our children are, you know, consuming the media and consuming news through these handheld controlled devices. And so they're being, you know, speaking of narrative, they're being indoctrinated with a narrative that is not necessarily legitimate here. So help our audience understand what critical race theory, and I've been saying it's a theory for goodness sakes, and that theory is now being thrust upon over 4,000 schools and being taught like as if it's doctrine.
Right, and narrative is a good place to start with that, because as a theory, it is put out there and then it's told and retold and retold. In order to again have that be the basis for formation of truth rather than looking at the facts on the ground, so to speak, to come to conclusions and ideals too, like equality, not equity, but equality, in order to say, okay, what really drives us as a nation to try to be as one people? Is it equality or is it something else? Is it some Marxist version of setting people groups off against each other? And,
what's important, let me stop you for just a second. All right, let's hit that term, equity versus equality, because people need to understand what it means, in the Marxist mind and what they're really trying to get us to buy into.
Right. Well, so the reason people call it critical race theory Marxist is because it's setting people groups off against each other, and that's the essence of what Marx did. Of course, in his day, it was, the industrial laborers versus the bourgeoisie, and it attempts to set each of those two groups off against each other in order to bring about some economic change. Marx, of course, was a materialist, so he thought the only kind of change that's relevant has nothing to do with spiritual, but has to do only with economic well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a little different climate now, but a lot of people say that, critical race theory is a form of applied postmodernism, and I think that's accurate because, a means of truth formation, that is, through narrative that we're talking about. And so instead of thinking in terms of, okay, I'm an American, I have individual rights, an expectation that I'm going to be treated equally with all the other people, that's the ideal. Hasn't always been realized, obviously. Obviously, there's a history there. But that's the ideal. So now we're changing.
Because we are striving for a more perfect union, right? I mean, that's our goal, all right? Okay, go ahead.
Sure. So now I'm not an American with equal rights with everybody else. I'm a white American, or I'm a black American.
Mm-hmm.
And you're instructed to think of those things first. So you mentioned the ubiquity of this message of critical race theory. It's subtly put out there and all these different news media and so on. That's true. But I think there's beginning to be some pushback because I think what people are realizing is, hey, wait a minute. There's different messaging here.
Mm-hmm.
The messaging is different for white people versus black people. Isn't that problematic? So the messaging to white people is, you have this original sin stain of whiteness. And the only way for you to expiate this sin is to really to engage in the left-wing prescriptions for how we're supposed to engage really on really all social issues.
Mm-hmm.
But and people are kind of aware of that, and it may feel offensive, but people are less aware, I think, of the message that goes to black people. Or at least they don't think of it in the same terms, because the message to black people is you're a victim.
Yeah.
So we have this racist versus victim paradigm, oppressor versus oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're telling people constantly that they're a victim, what are you telling them? You're telling them that they can't make it on their own, or at least they've got huge obstacles to overcome that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that,
it's amazing. Let me interrupt you for just a second. It's amazing. Just real quick. That they're saying this when the victims in recent history have been doing fairly well. We've got more millionaires that are people of color than we've ever had. Opportunities abound. And this narrative that they're trying to push somehow, if it's not at reparations or it's something that, okay, you've worked hard as an attorney all your life, you've achieved a certain level of success and notoriety, but because you're determined to be white, you move over and release your position and all your hard work to somebody that they declare as being less than.
Sure, there's lots of success stories of black people based on purely on their merit, and we should say that's great. This is what this country's about. That's a great thing. But there's also a lot of social measures which statistically you can point to and say, well, black people are not doing quite as well as white people in these various arenas, intact families, literacy or crime or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the facts on the ground. So why is that? Well, this is where narrative comes in, story comes in. We're going to explain it a certain kind of way.
Right.
And the narrative that we're asked to accept is, anytime there's any kind of disparity in any of these kinds of measures, it is purely and only the result of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, racism does have pernicious ongoing effects, no question about it. But is that the sole explanation for that? Or could it be that some of the social prescriptions that we're constantly directed towards from the left are the wrong ones and are actually counterproductive for the goal we all want, which is to have equal opportunity and to
then you start breaking it down, because if you say, okay, let's be responsible here. Let's take a look at this. You look at fatherlessness. You look at teen pregnancy that's running rampant in communities of color. All these things that, you know, the sociologists, the smart people who look at these numbers and trend lines and everything say that doesn't put you in a good position. I mean, if you want equity and you want equality, or at least you want, we're saying we're equal, well then, you know, then you've got to treat these opportunities in such a way to where they give your family members a leg up. And if you go and you break the law and you take dad out of the process here, and he's spending more time in jail than with his family, and then, of course, that's another discussion, because some people say, well, yeah, but they shouldn't have been there. Well, maybe not, and that's the next discussion. But let's agree, first of all, that if dads are in jail and they're not at home participating in raising the children, that's no bueno. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, these are real problems that we really have to deal with, and not just Black people, white people, Hispanics, but everybody. I mean, those facts of crime and families that aren't intact and all those things, they afflict people of all races.
Yes.
They happen to afflict statistically Black people more. Instead of just throwing up the hand and say, racism, mm-hmm. every time, how about we look at it more carefully and do something about it? And see what the real causes are, and not just ascribe it to racism every time. It gets back to the equity versus equality. We stand for equality. If you're going to say equity, what you're implying is we somehow need to bring all of the performance gaps, let's call it. You have to bring those into alignment by race. Mm-hmm. Instead of by merit. And the fact is, people are just not the same. And some people are going to take off running and, you know, run the 100-yard dash in 8 seconds. And other people, like me, are going to kind of galumph along, and it's going to take them a while. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's but if you don't want to accept that, and again, this victimhood mentality strains that reasonable consideration, right?
Sure. It's self-defeating.
Yes.
And that's kind of the biggest beef. If you got a beef against critical race theory, I think I'd start there.
Mm-hmm.
How is that helping anybody?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that, and it's not like critical race theory hasn't been introduced before, has it? Has it not?
Well, sure, but in fact, my view of it is, I mentioned Marx, I mentioned the worldview of people groups set off each against the other. That's how I would say it's been tried before. Maybe not so much critical race theory, but critical theory.
Mm, yes.
So as soon as you say critical theory, you're saying, all right, well, there's something about the system. Could be anything. Good legal theory was a big thing for a long time, going back to the 70s. It could be family structures, and hence the sexual revolution. All of these are different critiques. Well,
yes.
A critique of what? A critique of the... capitalist, bourgeois, all of the words that Marxists would subscribe to, the kind of society that isn't broken down by people group warring against each other. And so these are critiques to try to change all that, bring about revolution and transgression in various ways, and to be in a state of turmoil. That's the goal. I mean, it's unambiguously Marxist, so that's what we should think about and understand the bigger picture of where this is taking us if we buy into it.
And somehow embracing chaos is going to bring some sense of stability and logic, right? How can that happen? That's why, like Tim Scott says, you can't beat racism with racism. Albert Norton, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox?